Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our online video picks for this week are up on our website. Every week we choose five videos from the web that we think you may be interested in, and I anchor them in a picks video. This week's picks include a report from The Onion, you know, the satirical newspaper The Onion, right, on the leaking of the final election results from this coming November. See our online video picks at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, you've no doubt heard about the livery cab driver who left a baby at a firehouse in Queens a few days ago. At first, he was hailed as a hero for taking care of a baby who appeared to have been abandoned in the back of his cab. Well, the baby was abandoned, but it turned out the driver knew the 14-year-old mother, and he misled the police, as well as the rest of the city who read the tabloids, so that the parents wouldn't be implicated. Now, he's facing charges for that action, but the parents could have left the baby anonymously at a fire station under the so-called safe haven law if the baby had been younger. That applies only to babies who are up to 5 days old, that law, and this baby was 6 months. So joining me now to look at why the law is that way and other issues underlying this case and asking should this cab driver really be charged with a crime is Timothy Jacquard. He's the president of the AMT Children of Hope Foundation, which runs a hotline for parents seeking information about the safe haven law. Mr. Jacquard, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for joining us.
Brian, it's a pleasure to be on your show again.
And listeners will also take your phone calls on this. Do you think 5 days should be the cutoff age for this law? Do you think the livery cab driver should be let off the hook since he was trying to help the mother, though he did lie to authorities, apparently? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, trying to help the mother and the father, to be accurate. Timothy, tell us the rationale for the safe haven law. What is it exactly, and where did it come from?
Well, when I wrote the original bill in 1998, I actually did have 30 days in it. Most of the states do have 30 days as far as the time span for relinquishment of the baby. Once the legislators received the bill, they reduced that down to 5 days. Originally, they wanted 24 hours, and that was stemming from the period of time that we were dealing with neonaticide. Now, infanticide is the killing of the baby from birth to 1 year of age. Neonaticide is the killing of the baby within the first 24 hours. We were trying to bring the death rate of newborn infants being found in dumpsters and garbage cans. We were averaging 16 a year back then, and we managed to establish the Safe Haven program finally and bring that number down to where we had three last year and three the previous year. So we know that the Safe Haven program is working by giving these young mothers an opportunity that are in crisis to call and make it other directions.
Literally saving the lives of newborn babies.
Yes, yes. So the sad part is when you see and you hear a death of a baby, everyone jumps right onto it thinking that the program's not working, but it is when you consider the we've had 118 babies safely relinquished into the program since the initiation.
And what is it that someone can actually do in those 5 days?
They can go to a hospital, police, or fire station, or they can leave the baby with any responsible person willing to call the proper authorities immediately.
And drop off the baby, no names, no questions asked?
Correct.
And with follow-up for that person, if they ever want to, you know, reconnect with their child?
Yes, yeah. What happens once the child is relinquished into the program, ACS would take custody of that child. The baby would go into foster care. We would then process, and they would pursue in court termination of the parental rights. But in that period of time, they're looking into the Missing and Exploited Children's Registry. They're looking into putative fathers' registries to see if a father has registered, that this child might fit the criteria of those registries. And if it does, of course, they can come forward. And in the process, on 30 days, when they have to go into court to make a plan for the future of this child, the judge will then order what is known as a diligent search, and usually will have this go back in within 90 days. And then at that point, they would start the termination process of the mother and the father. if they have not come forth at that point.
Right. From what I have heard, it's possible that this cab driver actually tried to utilize that law.
Exactly.
Because I understand you got a call to your hotline from a Queens man a few hours before this baby was left at the firehouse. Do you think that was the same person?
Well, it was at 8:10 we received. Actually, we had three calls that morning, and from a 15-year-old, from a 25-year-old, all pregnant, and we verified that to make sure that they weren't possibly the birth mothers before we notified the police regarding the information. We will not reveal the information to the police department if this was a safe haven relinquishment, but the child was actually six months. We thought around 4 months. But when this individual had called, he was asking information in general about the law and about locations, and he was informed that a firehouse is a safe haven, a police department or even a hospital is a safe haven. He was generally looking for the areas of the Queens, and it turns out that this was not the individual. It was somebody that was just asking general information from the previous cases that had occurred where we had those three babies that were killed in Newcastle. People have still been calling us regarding information about that. Now, he spoke broken English, and he was Hispanic, and the call came in at 8:10 in the morning. But we kind of feel that this is not the individual that was asking these general questions.
Uh-huh.
It's just a fluke that it was about the same time.
Timothy Jacquard, my guest on WNYC, president of the AMT Children of Hope Foundation, which runs a hotline for parents seeking information about the Safe Haven law. Let's take a phone call. Robert in Spring Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hi. I feel that if they prosecute this cabbie, they're going to discourage people from using a safe haven. People are not lawyers. We shouldn't even elect lawyers because they make these laws. People, you know, you just know about safe haven, and you try to use it.
Correct.
And if this guy gets prosecuted, I think it will discourage the whole process.
Well, what we do is...
The safe haven law should be broadened.
Yeah. Well, we do not discourage... When we say that, we will not refuse any baby into the safe haven program, regardless of age. And we've had other infants dropped off that have been a month old, 2 months old. And again, it's up to the director of Children and Family Services to review the particular case. And if it's deemed that it's over a couple of days of 5 days, then yes, it would be accepted into the program. We're looking really to protect the mother and make sure that the baby is safe and that everybody is safe in this particular thing.
And what about...
And I am agreeing with him 100% yes. That I'm fearful that this particular case might frighten some people away.
Well, he may have misled the authorities and the whole city, even in a news conference. But of course, he says he was just trying to do the right thing. What do you think the right thing is in terms of the criminal justice system response to him?
Well, his crime is telling a false story. If he would have come in there saying, "Listen, I have a situation. I received this baby, and the mother has been left. The father is unable to take care of this baby. It's been 5 days," and then told the story. ACS would have been involved with this, and it would have moved forward in a different direction.
That's the city's Administration for Children's Services, yeah.
Correct. The fact that he lied about this brought in a whole different perspective where there were hundreds of people involved in trying to determine, was this child kidnapped? Was this child from another state? Is the mother alive? Was the father? Did the father harm this birth mother? And he's just doing this to protect. So there's a lot of other facets here that we have to look into to make sure that, the mother is safe, the father is safe, and the baby is safe.
Right. And I guess this guy just thought he was going to drop a baby at a firehouse. He didn't expect to wind up on the cover of the Daily News.
Of course not.
Bob in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Brian?
All right.
Well, if you read the screen, I was just going to say he should have definitely get prosecuted for, you know, filling out false reports. But as in lines of the time period, I know that if you drop off a child at a firehouse or a police station, it isn't the police officer or firefighter's responsibility to determine the age of the child. They're just mandatory told to have to hold that child.
Exactly. We worded that in when we wrote and we prepared under the Mayor Rudy Giuliani's administration, we wrote the policy and procedures for the New York City Fire Department, and it does state that no child will be refused from age into the safe haven program in their policy and procedures. And the purpose of that is to protect this child. We've had an incident in another state where a mother came into a situation. The baby was actually 6 months old, and the mother wound up jumping off the building. So we have to be very careful not to turn people away. We want to make sure that the baby is received, and once they do come into it, we are not going to allow that child and that mother to walk away with that baby. We'll receive that baby and worry about the consequences of identifying this child if the mother runs away. So we are looking to protect that child and make sure that we don't have another incident on our hands of a dead baby.
Bob, thank you for your call. There's an immigration status angle to this story, too,
yes.
Because these parents, the 14-year-old mother and the 27-year-old father, are both immigrants, I gather, and now this morning we're told that the father is undocumented and is currently on the run, partly because he fears being deported.
Well, you have other scenarios here, too, is the fact that the birth mother is 14 years of age and he's 28 years of age.
Oh, he could be charged with statutory rape.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there an immigration issue here? Does this come up ever with other families calling your hotline? Maybe
yep.
They're afraid to take advantage of the service because they're afraid that their immigration status will be revealed or anything like that?
Well, what we have in our program, when a birth mother calls in, we actually work with 46 of the local hospitals here, and a mother would come into our program looking, let's say she's 7 or 8 months pregnant, doesn't want anyone to know about, she's hiding this particular pregnancy. We try to get her to make a choice of three plans, a parenting plan, which is the number one, then an adoption plan, and then also the last resort as a relinquishment plan. We really don't want them to relinquish the baby. We want them to come up with some other type of a plan. But we also want her to give birth safely. So with the local hospitals that we have into our program, we actually will bring that birth mother there, and her name will become Maria Hope, for instance. And Maria it will give birth in the hospital under that assumed name. And then if she leaves the hospital, the baby is then safe. ACS would be notified and then would take custody of the child.
So you will protect the identity of the mothers involved in your program from authorities, and you may do that.
I do that in order for us to have the baby safe and that the baby is not going to be birth outside in a car or an empty apartment because they're terrified.
And you don't get pressure from the city to not do that.
Well, it's the programs throughout the entire state, and we do this to protect the baby fully, and this is the reasons why it's done, so that I'd rather have a birth mother come into the to our system. The hospital is not penalized. They receive a flat fee of $2,500 from the nonprofit organization for their medical expenses for the birth of that baby, and then at least we know that the child is safe, and it can be adopted into a family and raised in a proper way.
Raymond in Howard Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, Raymond.
Yeah, how are you? I'm sort of upset about this a little bit because I'm a pastor, and we've been waiting for years since this law has been implemented in the Giuliani administration to actually, you know, have families come in who are in this similar situation and to find out that you have 5 days, I think that's insane. That's absolutely ridiculous. How is it that, you know, somebody can make a determination within 5 days?
Well, the purpose of the 5 days by the legislators at the time when these bills were being initiated, you have to remember, we've got a lot of resistance in 98 and 99 about the safe haven laws in the beginning because they were fearful that it would be taking fathers' rights away from them. We protected that aspect of that. The whole idea was to prevent the death of babies, and it's been proven from seeing the numbers of 16 a year brought down to an average of 3 now a year that we are definitely saving. Now, last year we had 17 safe relinquishments here, so we know that that particular program is definitely working. I would like to see it 30 days go up onto the expand of 30 days so that a mother would have that opportunity. But again, that's a legislative, the state of New York would have to amend the bill. I'd also like to see them amend the bill from what is known as affirmative defense from immunity from prosecution, so that the civil aspects of the laws, the mother would be protected from the civil part of the law right now. So
who would sue her for dropping off a baby?
Well, it's basically, well, anybody receiving the baby, any responsible adult that brings a baby in, like this particular cabbie, the Good Samaritan law protects them from any type of legal criminal charge.
I see.
If they act in the proper manner.
Saying also the civil law should be included in that. We're out of time, but I want you to give your hotline number just in case there's anybody out there or anyone who knows anybody who may be in a situation like this, because I'll bet before this discussion a lot of people didn't know about your group. So just give your hotline number.
Okay, the number is 877-796-HOPE. That's 877-796-HOPE. And that's 4673 is the number.
And that is the AMT Children of Hope Foundation, Timothy Jacquard, who wrote this law, as we learned. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Hey, Brian, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.